Professor Grunsplatter's Spookatorium. I am your curator, Professor Grunsplatter. Beyond these doors crouch the wonders, horrors, and wry smiles of an uncanny world. This world, your world. Should you choose to come inside, the sounds and stories that the shadows tell will be yours to behold. Make no mistake, it is a place of questions, not answers. A place where the tickle in your belly or the twitch in your eye simply mean you're paying attention. But then if you weren't curious, you wouldn't be here. There'll be no refunds once you enter. Thank you for your attention, and the brave ones, come with me. Greetings, welcome to the Spookatorium. This is episode 68. The show opened with Technomenses with the track Arcana Function, and that came out in 2001. That project counts K2 among its members. Coming up in a bit, we are going to look at the Resurrection Men of the Victorian era. That is the body snatchers who supplied cadavers to the medical community. There is a little homegrown mystery I want to bring up first because I'm curious. According to the stats for the podcast, the town of Boardman, Oregon has monumentally more downloads of the show than anywhere else in the world. What makes that curious is that Boardman is a town of just less than 4,000 people and barely 4 square miles out in the Columbia River Gorge. Even if that was a solitary sort of ping tower or something for the larger area, I would still be surprised if that many people in what is a sparsely populated area were listening. There's a naval weapons training facility there, so I suppose it's possible that there are multiple service members out there listening, but I doubt it. Are there bots that listen to obscure podcasts? I wouldn't think so. Maybe it's just a weird anomaly in the tracking, but I'm curious if anyone in the Boardman area can shed any light as to why the show's numbers are so high out there. Spookatorium@gmail.com. That was Simulacrum with the untitled second track from the Zaguma release that came out in 2000 on Old Europa Cafe, and that project features one of the guys from Einleitungszeit. And if you haven't heard Einleitungszeit, they are quite good, and Phage Tapes just reissued a bunch of their releases. I have a lot of that stuff from when they originally came out on vinyl, and it's cool to be able to listen to it more conveniently then. So I definitely would recommend checking that stuff out. It's really good, sort of noisy, old, industrial. Before that was Matriarchy Roots with We Are Not the Same, and that is the same person that does the projects Restive Plagona and Vile Temper. And then opening that set was Love Power Experiment with I from their Politics of Self-Mutilation release that came out in 2003. Do you hear the cackling in the basement? Is it madness or genius? Let's see what's afoot in the laboratory. In 1752, the UK established the Murder Act. This signed into law that the primary punishment for murder conviction was post-mortem dissection. There would be some sort of trial, the guilty would be hanged, and their body would be remanded to an anatomist for dissection to further the medical sciences. As society evolved and capital punishment became more discretionary, that supply of corpses from the legal system dwindled, but medicine at that point had developed a reliance on cadavers to further their research. And whereas it had been common at one time to receive upwards of 500 cadavers a year from Johnny Law, the numbers had sunk as low as 50 to 60 a year. And there were a number of suggestions about how to make up this deficit, from using the bodies of people in workhouses who were buried at the expense of the city, to dead prostitutes, to those who committed suicide, or those who met their end from dueling or drunkenness. But the conversations didn't amount to any new resolutions. Enter the Resurrection Men. Their task was to exhume fresh graves and deliver the corpses to the medical institutes for dissection so that they could continue in their research. This was not legal, but curiously, getting caught stealing a body was punishable by a fine or imprisonment, but if you took any valuables from the grave that the person had been buried with, that was a felony and looked at more seriously. As the public became aware that these body snatchings were occurring, they started to develop plans to thwart the Resurrection Men, either by taking shifts to watch over the newly deceased, or in some cases adding things like iron bars over the graves or added layers of brick. And this was curious to me because I have seen a number of instances where iron bars over a grave have been cited as some kind of explanation that someone must have been a vampire or some other undead creature, and they were used to keep that person from escaping the ground. The more likely explanation is that the bars were there to ensure that they weren't removed and carved up by the local doctor. There were even coffins patented that had iron clamp locks, and those are mentioned in this 1798 poem by Robert Southey. This is called The Surgeon's Warning. And my apprentices will surely come and carve me bone from bone, and I, who have rifled the dead man's grave, shall never rest in my own. Bury me in lead when I am dead, my brethren, I entreat, and see the coffin weighed, I beg, lest the plumber should be a cheat. And let it be soldered closely down, strong as can be, I implore, and put it in a patent coffin, that I may rise no more. If they carry me off in the patent coffin, their labor will be in vain. Let the undertaker see I bought of the maker, who lives in St. Martin's Lane. They burst the patent coffin first, and then cut through the lead, and they'd laugh aloud when they saw the shroud, because they'd got at the dead. And they allowed the sexton the shroud, and put the coffin back, and nose and knees they did squeeze, the surgeon in a sack. So they carried the sack pick-a-back, and they carved him bone from bone, but what became of the surgeon's soul was never to mortal known. This anecdote comes from a Scottish newspaper of the era, Resurrection Men. Curiosity drew together a crowd of people on Monday at Dundee to witness the funeral of a child who was consigned to the grave in a novel manner. The father, in terror of the resurrection men, had caused a small box enclosed some deathful apparatus, communicating by means of wires with the four corners to be fastened to the top of the coffin. Immediately before it was lowered into the earth, a large quantity of gunpowder was poured into the box and the hidden machinery put into a state of readiness for execution. The common opinion was that if anyone attempted to raise the body, he would be blown up. The sexton seemed to dread an immediate explosion, for he started back in alarm after throwing the first shovelful of earth. Incidentally, the phrase "saved by the bell" originates from early burial customs, where the deceased would be buried with a bell. In case they were buried alive, they could ring it and have some hope that it would be heard and they could be saved. Some of the tricks that the resurrection men used for accessing the corpses included using wooden shovels that would be less noisy when digging, or actually digging in a different spot and tunneling towards the grave and then slipping corpses out through the tunnel while leaving the coffin in place. Others simply became understakers who would remove the bodies from the casket before ever putting it in the ground. As public awareness grew and as the resurrection men developed a taste for the money they were making, some decided that simply killing people would be easier than exhuming graves. You have perhaps heard of Burke and Hare, the infamous resurrection men of Edinburgh. There has been much written in one or two films I can think of. The term burking became synonymous with smothering a victim, as it was their method of choice. Burke was ultimately hung and dissected himself. In the 1832, the Anatomy Act was finally established. And this is a process that curtailed the need for the resurrection men. It required licensing of anatomists and regulated the supply of cadavers using primarily unclaimed corpses of those who died in prison or workhouses, and it also established the idea of allowing kin to donate the deceased's body to science in exchange for the anatomy school paying for their burial.
I removed the rectum itself with the
thank you.
exists to showcase music and ideas. I am not an expert at anything, and I have no agenda beyond fostering curiosity. The show is not monetized on any platform. It's available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and others. A video version is available on the Cryonic Mind YouTube page. If you can like, subscribe, comment, etc., it helps the show's visibility. If your music was featured here and you'd prefer it was not, let me know and I will remove it from the feed. You can reach the show at spookatorium@gmail.com. The website can be found at spookatorium.org, and your comments are always welcome. Thanks very much for spending some time here. That was Exsanguinate with Punishing the Dead from the 2002 release The Black Axe, and I put that out on my label, Cryonic Mind, but it was over 20 years ago, and it is long sold out, so I don't feel like a shill for playing it. That's a side project from Control, and you can still get it on his Bandcamp, I believe. Before that was She Retina Stimulants with Spine Performance from their 1996 release Katsuki no Aiga on Self-Abuse, and opening that set was SPK with Postmortem from the 1982 release Lichen Tree. Up next, this is Sonic Violence.
お前俺の肉をうまい。ドロー That was Zenny Gava from their 1991 release Total Castration. That was Blood Sex. Before that was Ooze Puss with Insult, and that project includes members of Linecraft and Coffins. And then opening the set was Sonic Violence with Manic from their 1990 release Jagged. That is going to do it for this episode. There is a possibility I may take a show or two off soon. I have several things that require my attention at the moment. I will try not to skip any shows, but if it should happen, know that it is only temporary. Thank you, as always, for stopping by the Spookatorium. It is appreciated. To blow out the candles this week in honor of the passing of Keith Levine, and hopefully the copyright clause will let this through, this is Memories from Public Image Limited.